I think we're going about this in the wrong way, guys. I think we need to talk about why people shouldn't race enduro.
Did you know you climb in enduro? I can repeat that. You climb.
Sometimes you climb while you're racing.
Actually, more than you'd hoped.
Yeah,
a lot more.
This is ludicrous.
Am I the only one seeing this?
Welcome, mountain bikers. Happy 2021. What happens when the kids ask you for the mic so they can record their own inside line? Well, today happens, and it warms my cold black heart to no end. The USDH gravity-loving crew from Rooted MTB takes over the show to discuss their experiences as American downhill racers. Their honest, fun, self-deprecating look at what it takes to chase World Cup downhill dreams is a first-hand account of where our sport is today. All us old-timers, well, we'll step back a bit and let the up-and-comers have their say. Word of caution for sensitive ears out there, there is some adult language in today's show. And if you're wondering, heck yes, I listened to the entire thing and I loved every disjointed, laugh-filled minute of it. Enjoy the show, USDH! The Inside Line is supported by Jensen USA, where you can shop for all of your mountain bike and MTB-related gear. Use coupon code INSIDELINE, all one word, at checkout on JensenUSA.com. You'll receive 10% off qualifying items. Max's Tires make our bikes go round, and we're honored to have them as an Inside Line supporter for the last 4 years. The most fun and easy way to alter a bike's character or performance on the trail is with a set of new tires. Hit up Maxis.com to find the tire that's best for you. And no matter how many times we say it, how rad is Santa Cruz and their Pay Dirt initiative? They're pledging $1 million over 3 years to trail building and mountain bike development projects across the globe. Hit up SantaCruzBicycles.com/paydirt. You can see the current grant recipients, and you can apply for a grant yourself or learn more about this awesome trail funding initiative.
We're not going.
We're going.
Hold on. Redo.
No,
we can clip the beginning.
All right.
Somehow. Welcome to the Vital MTV Inside Line podcast. Sorry for the most painful intro of all time. This is Rooted MTV. I am Austin Hackett Cloud. I'm sitting here with Harrison Ori, Wiley Kappas, and Kaysen Shimon. If you don't know who we are, we make weird Rooted MTV videos and race downhill. And
I got to preface this by saying you should not feel bad for not knowing who we are. Because that means you just haven't met us personally. So yeah, here to do our first podcast. Probably only.
Looking that way so far. Well,
let's get into it. What do you want to discuss? What do you think you deserve to talk about?
I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about what downhill racing is like in the United States. And we hear a lot about downhill being dead. And I think we have a unique perspective on it because we don't want it to be dead, but it is in a lot of places. And we've been lucky enough to travel kind of all over and race downhill and see where it is dead and where it's not. And go ahead.
Well, let's before we get into the discussion, you guys need to kind of give yourselves some credentials. So that way, you know, they do.
We have credibility.
This is true.
Even though our credibility is, let's say, limited.
Very limited at best.
Limited at best.
Very limited credibility.
Downhill isn't dead, but we're here to kill it. I mean, kill downhill, all right? Not like kill it, all right? Oh.
Wait, what?
It's dead now for sure.
Yeah.
Let's just go over. Hey, this is a fun game. Yeah. I know you guys are going to like this game.
Okay.
Let's go over the World Cups you have been to, and from there, your best race result from those
perfect
World Cups.
Excellent.
Some number well above 80. I'll start there for myself.
Ooh, big guy.
Top 100.
Yeah,
I think I've been there.
I think I've wanted to be there.
Well, you got to talk about which ones you've been to.
I've been to Mount St. Anne, Leo Gang, Junior Worlds at Champerty and Leo Gang. Kind of counts, I think.
Yeah.
And Wyndham. Mm. That was a rough one.
And what was your best finish?
84th, 86th at Mount St. Anne, okay. Something like that.
Okay.
Something okay. Frustrating.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
he didn't qualify, folks. He did not qualify.
You know, that's a great segue to go into Harrison's work experience.
Let me give you guys a little bit about my background. Been to Wyndham, Mount St. Anne, and Leo Gang, and have also qualified 0-3. Excellent. I think my best result was Mount St. Anne when I crashed 3 times and was 120-somethingth, so it's pretty close.
It's got a good ring to it, though, folks, don't it? 120-somethingth. Well, really there's does. No way we're talking about World Cups without one person qualifying at the table, so Wiley, tell us about your results.
Me? I did Leo Gang, Val d'Isole, and Val Nord. And I didn't necessarily ride down the entirety of all my qualifying runs.
You hate to see it, folks.
You hate to see it. But I don't know my best result. I can't say it was above 100.
Not above
100.
There's more?
You'd be surprised how low you can finish in the World Cup field. Let's just say that.
It's an accomplishment.
It does hurt. I definitely have had what I thought was decent qualifying runs at World Cups and then gotten to the bottom and just seeing so much red and just such a huge number by my name. Oh, wow.
Dude, at Val Nord,
I did not expect that.
At Val Nord, I came around the last corner and just saw red and 3 digits next to all my splits and didn't pedal across the line. That one stung a lot.
It's a bit demoralizing. Yeah, World Cups are real difficult,
yeah,
say the least.
So just to be clear, this is Kaysen speaking. I'm the filmer, and I also have not qualified for any World Cup. So everyone here is on an even playing field.
Same. Tell us about your one race.
Yeah, tell us about your race career.
I have done a little bit of racing myself. The best resort in the world put on something called the Winter Park Trestle Gravity Series. And I got in the mix in Air DH and took 4th out of 8th in men's amateur 19-29. So, you know, mid-pack hack. So I belong on Rudolph.
You were on the podium. You deserved what you got.
There was definitely some pro finishes in there, for sure. One.
What are you talking about?
In my class, there was a sandbagger.
Oh. Mm. Yeah.
Just like yeah, the top first 100 place guy sandbagging race you pro. Guys in World Cup. So.
Yeah, true.
It's not fair, right?
Same.
Yeah. Ooh, that hurts.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
All but right, Mr. Interview Man.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Eddie Masters' article, that his opinion piece from a couple of weeks ago, was super interesting, and it got my brain turning on a lot of things. Namely, that we all want to race World Cups or have wanted to at some point, and it's really difficult. And I feel like as an American, it's hard to figure out how to qualify at a World Cup, from the tracks being really difficult, the competition being 100 times more elite, and the travel, everything about it's way harder. So Eddie's article resonated with me a bit because just some of the way the UCI sets up everything for racers, it makes it really difficult. Like the 40 UCI points is really hard to get in America. You got to hit double points events. If you win a pro GRT, that won't even get you in. And then now that there's 3 federation spots per country, it's really difficult. And yeah, I guess one question I have is we haven't talked about it a bit, but did the 40 UCI points change anything for you? Did it change your motivation? If qualifying went back to 80, would you have more interest in racing World Cups? Did the 60 thing really change anything for you? For me, I think it did. Let's start with the 80 qualification. Was it when we last raced at Leo Gang? It was still 80 then, yeah?
Yes.
That was 2018, right? No, it was 60 at Leo when we all went.
Okay.
That's why we didn't qualify.
I was so close to 80 still.
Like, I was so keen.
Go on.
Yeah, I mean, Riley, did that discourage you at all in the whole thing? Going to 60? Like, I felt that it was a big jump where, like, Mount St. Anne 2017, and I was kind of close to the top 80. There wasn't
in the 80s.
There wasn't a ton. Yeah, it was in the 80s. Poor Tanner. He was 81st, I think, that race.
Yeah.
After a season of just, like, brutal World Cup races and being
talking
so
about
close.
Tanner Stevens, winner of the Pro GRT North... Wait, Pro GRT 1 at Port Angeles on a spray-painted gambler.
That was the sickest race.
Yeah, but anyways.
It was insane. But
local legend.
Yes. 81st. But yeah, I think for me, when it went to 60, it was like showed up to Leo Gang. And I was like, I don't know. That's tough. Especially on that track where like at least 80 of those guys had ridden it a ton of times and were going insanely fast, like practice lap one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like the year they switched to 60 was like the year when I like could feasibly get to the World Cups in like a federation spot. And it was definitely like I remember like reading that article and just thinking like that's like I'm probably not going to qualify for like any World Cups like my first few tries just because it's like getting a top 60 is like a good result.
Yeah.
And getting top 80 is like you're like surviving. But I was like pretty personally I was like I pretty had my heart like pretty set on going to like at least like experiencing World Cups and like going and trying. But yeah, definitely the top 60 I kind of it made it seem less possible to me because I'd spent like a ton of time racing GRTs and stuff, so I like kind of knew where I stood relative to like Aaron and Luca and Nico, or I don't know if Dak was racing then, but yeah, like Dak and yeah. Nico and
Charlie Harrison.
Yeah, Charlie was still a junior then.
Oh man.
Yeah. Rough.
Big oof.
Yeah. But yeah, just like the super fast dudes I knew kind of where I stood relative to. But so and seeing that, like, yeah, so it kind of gave me an idea of, like, a top 80 was a tough call, and top 60 was, like, really going to be a stretch, but I still wanted to go and try, just because, like, as a kid, you, like, start racing downhill, and you watch all the World Cups, and you're, like, I don't know, it's just different, and it's, like, you get to ride sick tracks, and it's, like, the top tier, it's, like, the pinnacle of the sport, and it's something that you want to experience.
We'll say it doesn't feel good. Being at Leo Gang and there's 150 entrants, and then, you know, you think about that only 60 are going to make it. It's like, you know, it wasn't my first World Cup, but it was my first, like, time in Europe trying to race and figuring that track out, and it felt pretty hopeless.
Yeah, I remember in the Rooted video, the interview where you were like, well, I'm not so stressed about qualifying tomorrow because, well, it's not going to happen.
Sometimes
it's a bit depressing, but
it's good to know your worth. You got to know yourself.
Yeah. But then, like, when we were at Mount St. Anne before, like, top 80 seemed a little more, like, reasonable. But it's, like, one of those things, too. Like, I feel like we got a late start with attempting World Cups and stuff. And it's, I think some people maybe take a lot of time and, like, tries to qualify for the first time. And that's kind of what Eddie's article was talking about. Like, some riders, like, I don't know, I think he mentioned Finn Isles and stuff, like, have that, like, mapped out of, like, how to get there. And then there's the people on the fringe that definitely, like, are important to the sport. I don't know, you need a deep field, in my opinion. But they cut that out in some ways, and it's a little bit of a disappointment, in my opinion. But
it
makes sense, too, I guess, in some ways.
I feel like one of the most disappointing things about it was I went into, especially like, no, that's not true. I was going to say, especially the first one, but definitely every World Cup I went in and didn't expect to qualify. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen, but one of the hard parts I feel like is, you know, you're trying to catch up with everyone who's ridden these tracks. You know, some of them have probably ridden and raced these tracks a dozen times, and it's our first time out there on a track that's way above our head. and we're just like way out of our league. And you, you know, you're there, I guess, essentially to build on experience. So hopefully you can eventually qualify for one. But then, I mean, you're there for 2 days. You have one day of practice and then you qualify the next day. And then everyone else, they have like the race day as well. They get to know how the track like forms up, or I guess, and how beat up it gets. And then they get another day of like practicing and riding the track. And, you know, as a privateer, I guess that's even harder because you're like, you know, I mean, that seems like only one more day, but if you're only there for 2 days, obviously, like, yeah, I just feel like everything about it is.
Yeah, it's hard to learn.
Yeah. Well,
one thing that's
very difficult.
Isaac Leeson and Dakota Norton were telling me when I was, because I traveled a bit with them when I was like trying my World Cups. And Isaac was said to me, is like, you have to spend like a year just getting destroyed, like yeah. getting smoked at the World Cups, because the tracks are just so different from normal riding kind of anywhere, because they get so beat up and you have such a short amount of time to practice. It's just like such a different environment, so you have to spend, yeah, like you and Dak said it too, he's like, yeah, the first year I went there, I just got my quote word for word, he said, I just got my dick blasted off for like an entire year until I figured it out.
Well, then look at him now. He's got, like, podiums.
Yeah.
And, like, granted, he has been, like, super skilled since we first saw him.
Yeah, like, both Dak and Isaac are, like, two of the most skilled riders yeah. on the planet. But, yeah, it's just, like, you have to... It seems like you have to invest at least a year of just getting worked.
Getting
to kinda,
dick blasted off.
Yeah, just to get the experience and, like, kind of understand how to, like, mentally handle a World Cup.
Yeah.
When it does stink that it seems like there's no support system to help privateers on a journey like that. I mean, it is catered towards, you know, we're talking about going from 80 to 60 people, so they're catering it more and more towards the elite, and it does make that gap much harder to bridge. Like, there's no kind of way to do it cheaply or effectively. You kind of just have to, like, yeah, really suffer through, I feel like.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to play, like, the devil's advocate, though, like, by making the top tier of the sport, like, more exclusive, they, like, World Surf League and Formula One or whatever, even though I hate the comparison from mountain biking to Formula One, because it's just, like...
Formula Aero.
Just because it's, like, a consumer can buy a downhill bike and go do it, but...
You can't buy a $1 million F1 car.
Yeah, well, you could, but... But anyways, by making it more exclusive, they're making it more professional, and, I don't know, like, more... Yeah, I don't know how to elaborate on the word professional, but more, like...
More legit.
Prestigious, I guess.
Yeah.
Which could have value from a marketing perspective and help grow the sport, because if you make the sport way cooler, then there's more people who want to do it, but there's just this like weird dead space from the national rounds to the World Cup rounds, where like you go to a national round and you do okay and you're like, all right, maybe I could try to a World Cup, and it's like that's like the boat we were in, like we could get like top tens or whatever at national rounds, but then go to a World Cup and it's like I can't even like I can ride this track like 10 seconds at a time, but until then it's like it's too overwhelming.
Yeah,
like there's just no in between
for sure. And I guess that's a whole other topic, too, of, like, racing in the U.S. and how difficult the tracks are when you get to the World Cup level in comparison. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like, everyone talks about Liaogang being a bike park track. And I think all of us showed up and were like, wow, like, you're going so fast, hitting holes at a million miles an hour that are really huge.
Well, the
and
thing
nothing's
about
easy about it. It is maybe more bike parky and less tech, but... certainly difficult, and it's certainly like an eye-opening experience, like from bike setup you need to like stiffen up your suspension, everything about it's just way harder in my opinion still. So I think it's funny how everyone's like, oh, it's so bike parky, and then still I think you show up and you're like, oh
yeah. Well, the thing about Liaogang is like, and actually like all the World Cup tracks, is like if you show up and you're not at a race, they're easy to ride down. Like Liaogang on its own is like, it's like a good downhill track. I mean, now it's just like a fucking war zone, but like back in our day, like it's like you can ride down it and it's fun. It'd be super fun and like a good track, but then you show up and just like everyone is going so fucking fast, and like so you're and like the track is so rough because there's so many people going down it, and like all and it's not like there's like a, like 4 hour practice session and it's done. It's like blocked out in hours. There's like people always riding it all day. Whereas like a national round, it's like you get like three hours on the track, and then it just is like gets a little worn, but then
yeah.
But yeah, like just riding down the World Cup track, a World Cup track, even Val d'Isole, you could ride down, and it'd be pretty fun. Like it'd be super, it'd be gnarly. But then like just in the race environment and like all the wear that the tracks undergo, it just completely changes it, and you're just trying to ride like these pretty gnarly tracks at like a speed that just makes it like so intense, like so fucked up.
Yeah.
But I mean, for us personally, but for the like good World Cup dudes, they're probably like, yeah, it's pretty gnarly, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's funny, like a bunch of the Euro guys are like, oh, should I race my trail bike at Leogang? And I show up and I'm like, I need 2 more inches of travel.
But to be fair, like when they're all saying that stuff and like when they just like hate on that track specifically, it's like when they walk the track and it's all like not beaten yeah. and smooth. But then if you tried to do that, that like, when it's time to race, you couldn't, like, your bike would snap in half.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and it's just so fast because of that.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, the speeds are crazy, so it just turns into such a gnarly track. The interesting thing, too, about showing up to Leogang and not having the experience is, like, somehow I had enough UCI points to sneak into A practice when I was there, which totally threw me off guard. I remember like going up to the lift with you guys for B practice, like not even considering I was in A, and they like pulled me off to the side and like, no, like they looked at my number plate and saw it was like in A practice, and I was very confused. So I went into a lonely A practice, and there's like, you know, a bunch of dudes with like Red Bull helmets and just like all the top guys or whatever, and I pull off that section after the wall rides where there's that high line with the roots, and then you gotta miss that pad, like that padded tree. And I remember watching Danny Hart first lap come through going like 10,000 miles an hour and like gapping the roots. And I just remember being like, wow, like, I don't know if I'll do that ever in my life. That was insane. And just be like, he did that first lap. Like, this is so terrifying.
Yeah. It's insane how good the top dudes are. Like, there's like levels. It's like the top dudes, the top 10 dudes, and then like the mid-pack dudes, and then, like, the, like, barely qualifying dudes, and they're all so good, but then, like, the top dudes are just, like, so good.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
But
so I guess that brings up a question of what does it take to make it on the World Cup level? Like, in context of, like, you're a U.S. junior.
For a friend.
Yeah. Like, you're a U.S. junior, and you want to race World Cups. Like, what does it take these days?
Well, considering none of us are qualified for a World Cup, I would give us a disclaimer saying that we clearly don't know.
I think we have an idea, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the interesting thing is how much, like, one of the things I think is a standout factor is figuring out how to put in enough attempts at a World Cup.
I think the key is just, like, you have to know your first year you're going to get crushed. And, like, just like use it as a learning experience, kind of like how Dak and Isaac were saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, you said like a junior trying to make it on the World Cup.
Yeah, just like a kid, like, you know, trying to make it on the World Cup. Like at one point in our lives, we were like, yeah, I want to race World Cups.
Yeah.
How do we do it? I think we didn't really know how.
I mean, you still don't.
No, we definitely don't. And like part of me,
anybody wants to ride in.
And part of me still wants to try, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I mean, in the U.S. at least, I mean, we can't speak for, like, Europe because they just have access to so much good riding. But in the U.S., it's like, you have to go to the national rounds for sure because that's, like, the only place where you can race against dudes that have raced World Cups, which are getting progressively harder to get to because they're getting cut. But yeah, you have to go to the national rounds. You have to like ride your downhill bike as much as you can, which is like easy when you're like you have time and you're like a kid because that's like all you want to do anyways. But
yeah,
you got to ride in the right spots.
Yeah,
like, that's important.
It is. Well, I don't know because like a bunch of like the Southern California dudes and like, I don't know, like some of the East Coast dudes are so good and they just have like such horrible places to ride.
Kind of though. California's not bad. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
and I guess they have year-round riding too, which is
yeah. You know, and all like the Californian dudes like race BMX and stuff and moto, so they have good like foundations.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. How would you say get on a World Cup?
I just think I guess like I admire the people that like Dakota that have just like taken the beating and figured out a way to race a World Cup season and like figure it out. Yeah. And then like Charlie Harrison too, like he had like good junior races.
So Charlie like did it right, I think. Yeah. Where you just like live in the right places, you like train your ass off and like
yeah.
Well, I guess he did it like the most like expected way, I guess. Like you like train your ass off, you live in the right places, you just ride a shitload and just like I don't know, you just like and do as much as you can to get there.
And he did the Junior World Cups too.
Yeah, where you
which
like,
is something like for us, we didn't have like they started the Junior World Cup, our first season elite when we were 19.
Yeah,
and we were like, oh damn, that would have been nice.
Yeah, but then like yeah, then like Dak like hadn't touched a downhill bike his like entire life, and it was just like, yeah, I feel like Charlie did it like the like right way where you like progress through the races like through the junior ranks and like train a lot and like whatever.
Yeah,
and like. Why are you looking at me like that?
Just listening.
And then Dak was like, why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just listening, man.
And then Dak did it, like, the, like, unexpected way where he hadn't touched a downhill bike at all. He's, like, from the hood in Michigan, like, had no financial backing and just, like, I don't know, like, made it happen. Like, he just, like, yeah, like you said, he just, like, took the beating and put his head down and, like, just went until he made it.
Lived in the van and figured it out.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean,
which
yeah,
is
I think,
super cool.
Yeah. I think, like, it can, like, as a junior, you can make it, like, or as a kid coming up, there's, like, a billion different ways you can make it. But, like, I think just the key is just, like, race as much as you can and, like, get to Europe and start racing as soon as you can.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think, like, Charlie had a similarity in, he, like, same thing. Like, I don't, think like I listened to a podcast with him and it does not sound like he had it easy his first like elite year, you know. Mm-hmm. Or really any of the years, but like same thing, like I think he was like, wow, like the Elite World Cup is super gnarly and like struggled through it. Mm. And like figured it out. And I find that admirable and interesting, and I think that's really hard to do in the US.
Yeah. Casey, it seemed like you had a point.
I did not have a point.
Let the record show.
Let the record show. I did not have a point.
I don't have a point.
Well, so, yeah, who's...
I mean, to be honest with you guys, I feel like just from an outsider looking in, as someone who just got into World Cups and knowing these people as little as I do, I think to be a World Cup racer, you have to, like, want it way more than you think you do.
Yeah.
Because you guys wanted it bad, but you didn't want it enough.
Right,
in
like
a
we
way,
didn't
like
live in the van and like
yeah,
bum
like,
it out in Europe.
It's just the way it goes. If you're a privateer, one is you gotta want it.
I feel like you gotta really want it too, and have like the mental toughness of getting beat down and being like, you know what, that's okay. I, you know,
yeah.
You ever hear that motivational YouTube video where the guy's talking about
wearing
a suit at the beach, and he's like, "You gotta be the dream. You gotta wake up and sleep the dream."
Yeah,
that's World Cup races, guys. It's not that hard.
And I mean, to be fair, after every time we like did better at a race, as you can see from like all our episodes, we like all just like lay around and cry. Like, we're such fucking weenies. But
we play hard, we train hard,
we cry hard too.
It's an emotional team.
It's an emotional team. A lot of ups and mostly downs.
I do definitely remember after Leo Gang, instead of, you know, going to the gym the next day or something, I just ate a lot of chocolate, and it didn't help me for the next weekend.
Spoiler alert, we went out to the after party. That's what we did.
Which was a lot of fun, to be fair.
Yeah,
it was vacation.
You can't go to a World Cup and not, like, go to the after party.
But we never qualified. Why does UCI make it so hard for us to qualify?
It's not me.
So clearly UCI is screwing us.
Yes.
really what's happening is they cut the party or cut the qualifying from 80 to 60. They just made the World Cup party smaller. Yeah. After party smaller.
Unless you're real sad like us and you stick around anyways.
What do you think the party, like, after parties were like before we got into it, and there was, like, 200 people trying to qualify.
That's the, like, that's the thing.
Matt Thompson, you could call Matt Thompson and ask him what the parties were like.
Statistically speaking.
If you want.
Okay.
I'm so proud of my statistics.
Yeah, wait, no. Jason has statistics. Yeah.
I have statistics.
I'll just queue up Matt. We'll call him.
Okay, so
Jonah Hill, Moneyball up in this bitch.
All right. I got my Mac up, so that's, we're getting statistical.
Very statistical. It's a hard word to say.
All right, so, and you guys ready for these stats?
Wait, are these party stats? Is this your segue?
No, these are just qualifying stats. So, qualifying stats. So, in Liaogang in 2019, 153 riders tried to qualify. You compare that to 2010 to 207.
Wow. It's a lot.
So, I mean, you can see right there that just in that small little look into the statistical window, downhill's dead. Beyond that,
we're not gonna put a nail in the coffin like that.
No. So beyond that, you carry it to privateer, and that's when things get pretty sad, because we look at who actually qualified and who raced in 2010. 27 out of the 79 participants in 2010 were privateer, and there were two in the top 20. Fast forward to 2019, 9 out of 60 were privateers in the racing.
Interesting.
So it was 34% in 2010, 15% in 2019. Big brain time. It was big brain. It was big brain time.
So this is why it's all UCI's fault and not ours.
I can't stress this enough. Yes.
But I mean, like, there is a reason why people aren't racing or riding downhill bikes a lot. And
I have a whole theory about why downhill bikes
are. All right, we're getting into conspiracy theories.
I mean, here's the theory. It's not even that much of a conspiracy theory. But
Speak clearly and loudly into the mic.
I'll pass. Good, continue.
So
Austin said, do we get into the lotion gloves? You know who you are. Wait, actually, Spomer maybe cut that bit.
Don't cut it, Spomer. Wiley's head is on a chopping block.
It's important that you cut that bit.
Let them wonder.
Continue.
Because if the conspiracy theory is true, I'm in big trouble.
Let the record show that was Wiley Coppice.
That was
Dude, MTV and its affiliates do not support Wiley Coppice. But anyhow, let's talk about downhill bikes. Because I think the average consumer doesn't care about downhill bikes that much anymore.
Which True. Is so lame.
I know. You get really upset because I remember when I first started mountain biking, saved my life. When I first started mountain biking.
Wait. Let's back up. Kason used to weigh over 350 pounds when we first met him. We brought him to Liaogang and he had 3 heart attacks walking down.
Should we see if Spomer will put that picture of him on the boat?
Yeah, let Spomer have a picture for him.
Oh, not the boat picture.
And then Fiona Schwartz, bless her heart, supported us through Specialized, got Kason a bike, and now he's 150 pounds and totally hot.
He's really hot.
All right, well,
I'm like a 5 out of 10. All right.
He's skinny, though.
I am skinny now. So listen.
Mountain bike saved Kason's life.
So when I started mountain biking, and then it was when
you
I
were
got...
pretty fat when he started, too. It took a while.
Jesus. Yeah, minus my weight.
You're still kind of hot then, too.
It was like the same way you like a pug. It's like, out of guilt.
All right, let's stay focused. Stop getting sidetracked.
Yeah, me. So, anyways, when I got, I think it was really when I got my Enduro, that like you feel a bike that can handle the downhills really well. And then you're thinking, you're just like, well, this bike can climb well, decently. And if this bike can climb well and it can go downhills decently, like, why would I spend that extra, I don't even know how much a downhill bike costs, more than I want to spend, though, guaranteed, just to ride a super specialized bike that's only good for going downhills, essentially, when I have almost what could be considered an ultimate machine. And before you get going, Austin, as a mechanic, you were like, I don't know why people think they can take trail bikes down downhill trails and just, you know, rape them to death.
Let's do the PG version.
So before Austin gets going on his rant, you know, as a mechanic, he was like, I don't know why people can take trail bikes down downhill trails and just, you know, ruin them. So, can we restart? No, but I mean, it's true, because, like, I just think, and I think that may have to do something with the UCI letting less people in, because at the end of the day, when it comes to, like, downhill racing and the UCI, it's, like, TV rights or the Red Bull TV rights and things like that. So if you have not that interested of like a populace, because they're more interested in enduro, because that seems to be a thing too. Like, it seems like other forms of racing get more coverage and could be potentially more interesting to the average rider, then why would you keep the field big? Why not make it smaller, less airtime? You're still got the elite going elite speeds.
I guess my thought on all that is there's not enough cool places to ride your downhill bike anymore.
That would be my argument as well. It seems like when we go to popular places, like Windrock is really popular right now. You see a lot of downhill bikes.
Yeah. You go to like Whistler or places like that. But in Colorado in particular, we are like starved of good downhill trails. And I stare at my downhill bike half the year and am desperate to ride it. And it's so much work to ride it. It's either like the old riding spots we used to go to, the questionably legal ones. Now there's, you know, guy at the top in the cabin with the gun, doesn't want you there. Or, you know, there's just all sorts of factors. Like, there's just nowhere to ride them anymore. Or, like, Winter Park, like, well, so sorry to hate on them again, but you just, it's not as fun to ride a downhill bike there. Like, I'd way rather ride my trail bike on all their trails. And that's not a product of, like, downhill bikes being the issue. That's that there's no good tracks to ride them on.
But that's still, like, to rebuttal it, that's what I'm saying, is even in a place where there's no good downhill bike, like, even in the places that it's really popular, downhill bikes are really popular, so are normal trail bikes.
Yeah.
And trail bikes are popular here, where downhill's not that good. Like, I feel like mountain biking as a total, trail bikes are kind of at a point now where you don't need to have that downhill bike to go down something that's pretty fricked up. Like, trail bikes are super capable now, and that might be adding to the less interest in downhill biking.
But, like, you get on a downhill bike and you get on a downhill bike and you, like, can go so much faster and be so much more reckless, and it's so, I don't know, it's like a ton more fun, I think. But, like,
I agree.
Yeah, I think 100%. It's like the like, mountain biking is growing a lot, so, like, but that means that there's a lot of people that are getting into it, so, like, the median skill level is lower than when, like, downhill bikes are bigger. And so, like, people who like downhill biking, like generally, like, put, like, pushing it a little, or, like, the point of downhill biking is, like, to ride, like, kind of gnarlier stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
And, like, so, yeah, that median skill level isn't quite as interested in that. And so they, like, bike companies are selling more trail bikes, and, like, I don't know, they're just making more money off trail bikes, and it kind of, I feel like people don't see, like, that downhill biking maybe exists, because it's, like, it's hard to get to that point when you, like, need a downhill bike. Like, realistically, you, like, kind of have to, like, eat shit a lot to, like, do that. And, like, the people who are getting into biking aren't, like, I don't know, like, a lot of them are, like, just dads and stuff, and they're, like, not gonna go, like, ragdoll and be, like, or, like, really be pushing themselves. They just want to, like, go have fun and, like, yeah, go super slow down stuff. So that means, like, to, like, accommodate that median skill level, like, trails are being mellowed out and made easier, just because that's, like, the whole, like, way that the industry is kind of going. And so, like, I don't know, like, and downhill bikes are made to ride, like, high speed, like, gnarly trails with, like, jumps and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like,
I hate
it. So just, like, there's no that, yeah, it's just, like, the industry is, like, just kind of accommodating, like, a lot, I don't know, that seems brutal, but it feels like the industry is, like, just pushing towards accommodating a lower skill level because it's more profitable, which makes sense from a business point of view. And then it's just giving places to, like, or it's, like, killing the places that you'd ride a downhill bike for fun.
Let's get meta here.
Okay.
For a minute.
Well, we don't do... Okay.
So, okay. Let's loop back to when you said, I don't want to compare downhill to F1 because they're totally different. But that's funny because everyone can buy a car, but not everyone's going to race an F1.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like along the same lines.
Yeah, it is.
Like downhill is becoming that like super more elite with only 60 riders being able to qualify and those 60 people being so much more faster than everyone else. And then you can have your Hyundai Sonata and or 150 millimeter, you know, travel bike. And then if you're really, really into it, you can go and get that downhill bike and send your life.
That is a good point.
Yeah. I think that part kind of brings up too, like we're talking about the difficulties of riding and racing in Colorado. And I feel like when I was young, it seemed obvious to get a downhill bike because there's a race series. So you're like, you know, we talk about how you need a downhill bike because you're trying to go really fast on like kind of harder stuff. Now there's no race series. You know, there, it seems like even less reason to have a downhill bike if it, you know, if there's nothing that you're trying to go faster, if you're just riding for fun, it is, I mean, you know, I think we all think it is more fun and I think that's like a easy point, but you know, as a kid, like, I guess that I always shot for racing and like, that's why you want a downhill bike. That's why you wouldn't want just a trail bike. And now there's nothing like that and there's nothing to ride it on. It just does seem tough to justify a downhill bike in Colorado for the average rider.
Yeah. It really does. And you have to go so far to race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, yeah, the GRT race series. The GRT race series, I think, I think personally the GRT race series doesn't do a great job of teaching or giving, maybe not teaching, like it definitely gives like mid-level racers the tools to like compete against World Cup riders, but it's so inaccessible.
Yes.
That like it makes, it's, I think because it's so inaccessible, it's like kind of killing the sport, at least in the US.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting too, because RootMTB, check us out on YouTube. we've gone to Windrock 3 years now. And the first 2 years, it was, like, pretty freaking gnarly. Yeah, like, full-blown World Cup. Greg Minnaar was there at the first 2 years ago. And a bunch of other World Cup riders. And, like, the course was gnarly. It pushed you. And then kind of the general field of that race complained so much that by the third year we went, they had tamed it down some. But then, you know, the bulk of the people who were racing there were happier. So it is this interesting dynamic of like, do you want to get faster or do you want to have fun?
Yeah, because I mean, like, yeah, you don't, I don't know, I feel like you go to races and like it's not fun to get waxed.
As someone who took fourth, I don't understand what
you're saying. As someone who spent like the last 14 years of their life getting smoked at downhill races, it doesn't feel great.
As someone who's watched the last 3 years of it,
it doesn't seem great.
It didn't look that fun either.
But I mean, I don't know. There's like all these like definitely like rainbows and sunshine benefits that like are very real to racing. Like there's all like the camaraderie, and you get to like travel. It's like a good excuse to like travel around with your friends, which is like, it's like I don't know. I like the World Cups because it was like a good. Don't look at me like that.
Hang out with your bros.
Racing's like a sick, like, excuse to just like travel around the country and race with your friends. And it's like going to Europe and stuff was like, I definitely felt super bad after all the World Cups because we all got so smoked and like the racing was hard. But those are like some of, like, the most fun weeks of my life, for sure. Yeah,
Europe was awesome.
Well, I think this is a good time to segue into one of the other talking points that Austin just really cutely typed up. it was talking about kind of the idea of racing versus this new internet wave and how you can get benefits riding your bike in different ways. Like, it's now no longer you have to race in order to be sponsored, essentially.
Yeah.
And I think Rooted MTB and its limited knowledge can attest to that greatly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's like the whole content creation thing that has people traveling all over. And I don't know, it's interesting. I think it's interesting how for Rooted, we like started it as like a race team and we have fun going to the races together, but we want to go fast and we'll like make these videos and like showcase the Pro GRT and stuff. And it's funny, our results the past few years have been, like, underwhelming.
Not great, folks.
To say the least. It's like a good mid-pack finish.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know, it's been a struggle as far as results in racing goes. But then, like, we get more support now than when we were, like, doing all the GRTs, like, going really hard, you know, doing fairly well and, like, getting better. And then, like, no one cares about race results. And, like, I kind of understand. Unless it's, like...
At a certain
unless
level.
You're, like... Yeah. Right. Unless you come through out of nowhere, like, smoke some people at the GRTs and start working your way to that World Cup, like, level, then no one cares about how you do at races.
Yeah.
Well, which I mean, like, I understand.
Sponsorship is just, like, brands paying for... Sponsorship's just, like, brands paying for image. And, like, I don't know, like... Podiums at a pro GRT, like, it's like not, like, it's not really an image. Like, no one really cares that much. I don't know. But, like, if you're like dominating World Cups and stuff or doing, like, good at World Cups, then that is image. Like, that's like,
yeah.
You can, like, see return on that. But, like, I feel like brands, when they pay for content and stuff, it's like they're getting a lot more, like, I guess visceral is, like, a weird word, but, like, it's like a visceral brand image. Like, you get, like, personality and like imagery and like all that stuff, which like is like they're actually getting something they're paying for, whereas like if they're sponsoring like a national team, it's like they're paying for like a low digit on a results sheet at a race that like no one really goes to, no one really watches, and like is just like basically like a breeding ground to like get to like a bigger stage, which I mean there's like valuable or like value in like investing in racers who are like trying to get on the World Cups, but I mean, yeah. I'm definitely just like putting words in like marketing people's mouths, which I like am very not qualified to speak on. But I mean, from my perspective, that's like why I, mean, I think that
we've done this a long time. We get an idea of how it works.
Yeah, well, it just seems like they get more value out of content rather than like a decent GRT result.
Yeah, they definitely do.
The proof is in the rooted pudding. Ace Bomer hated that. Bomer, cut that, please. But because, like, you
that's
know,
Karen Shimon.
Yeah. So I haven't been really that deep in the mountain bike scene for too long. In case you haven't been able to notice by my complete lack of experience, but
he was so fat a couple years ago. There's no way,
dude. I had a dump truck on me, but
dummy thick.
When I backed up, it beeped. But listen, but I remember. So when we got our first like. Kind of mild support, I talked to everyone on the team and I was just like, is this good? Like, this seems really good for you guys. And they were like, oh, this is the best deal we've gotten so far. And then beyond that was interesting is none of our sponsors ever been like, so how are the results?
Yeah, which is,
I mean,
sweet.
It's dependent though. It's very brand dependent. Cause yeah, we had talked to brands where they're like, how are your race results? And we were like, and those talks did not continue.
The brands that were interested in our results, that was a very short conversation. And then I was called fat and then we headed out.
Which is weird because you weren't actually that fat then.
No, I was still prime fat.
Yeah, you're pretty fat.
Yeah. I had to like walk sideways against the detail.
But yeah, like our national results haven't always been so bad, but like,
well, speak for yourself.
Can't no, say like, the same for me.
Yeah. That's not true.
That's not true. Was like a beast back in the day.
I know.
Was like, back in the prime. Day, top
I
five.
And I need to get back. Weekend.
I got him when he's washed up.
I know. Yeah,
I adopted an old dog.
You haven't seen me have a good race, have you?
No, because
it's been like crash or.
Well, I feel like the first year I came on, everyone was worked up because it was like, we're doing a race series, and then that kind of added a certain oomph to it, and then results went down.
And then I hurt myself.
And then you had that awesome injury.
Yeah, I really killed it.
And then this year, you know.
It's okay. Harrison and I carried the team pretty well.
Coronavirus.
We're super good participants for the team.
You would not believe how well we participated in all the races we did.
Someone has to take 21st at these things.
Doing God's work, son.
Okay. I'm doing the best with what I got, right?
Anyways.
It's the UCI's fault.
UCI is affecting local pro-GRTs.
But,
yeah.
It's weird, because it's, like, easy for people to blame. Because, I mean, it's clear, like, because our stats wizard here outlined that, like, races are getting smaller. Like, downhill is downhill bikes are definitely, like, declining. Like,
yeah.
But it's, like, you can't blame one person. Like, no, I feel like everyone's, like, UCI, USA Cycling, like, fuck them, or, like, fuck the industry, whatever, man.
It's, like, push and pull. Like,
yeah, it's, like, a bunch of different forces are kind of, like... Yeah, like, just contributing to...
For sure.
Just those mid-pack racers, like, getting stuck in that, like, black hole.
Yeah.
Of, it like, seems... trying to jump from Nationals to World Cups, and then they just, like, disappear.
Yeah. And it's, like, yeah, it's and it's causing downhill to be stuck in a weird rut that, like, no one has direction on getting it out of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially in our region.
Yeah.
Like, resorts don't care. They don't want downhill races. They don't want the lawsuits and the effort and money to put in a good downhill track.
Yeah.
Because everyone can show up and ride their 150 mil trail bike and have fun on Rainmaker. And
yeah. And like, just because that's like the status quo, like then the trails get built like that.
Right.
And then like you don't want to ride your downhill bike, so it's just this vicious circle where just everyone's like...
We need Charlie Sponsel on here to just hate on that idea.
Yeah.
What idea?
Oh, talking about like the status quo of trails and how they've gotten mellowed out, and... I know that guy could go on a rant for a while about, like, it kills the creativity. Yeah.
Steve Wentz and Matt Thompson
would be
real worked up about that.
The world needs more trail builders like them. That, like, downhill bikes are fun on their stuff. You carry momentum. You can get creative.
I mean, I almost died on that one trail, but...
Which one?
Well, it's actually funny because I rode the trail on a downhill bike.
Oh,
and having a great
Magic
time.
Forest.
Yeah, just pushing it. And then I hopped on my trail bike and put my front tire right into this perfect little rock and impaled myself. And I was like, downhill bikes, yes.
Yes, these things are real cool.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know. So, well, I feel like it just seems like we're fussing here. I mean, what's the solution, guys?
The solution? We all just got to ride more, man. You got to hug your neighbor and buy a downhill bike, man. And while you're at it, buy Specialized, man.
I don't know.
Pending.
I mean, we figured out that we've tried to, like, revive old illegal downhill trails.
No, we didn't.
You didn't hear that?
Seems like it didn't work out for us. The answer is tough. I don't have it.
Yeah. I mean, I think so.
I think we all have ideas, but...
I hate to compare it to, like, other things like we've been, but motocross is similar. It's a similar vein. Motors cross. It's a similar vein.
It's a hard R.
It's the same vein of racing, and you're like privateers in that realm are experiencing the same thing, and like low purse payout, stacked field... you know, and you're kind of experiencing that same rut of the same guys are winning in a way, and like the same type of guy at least is winning.
It's the same robot.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I think it seems like it's an inevitable nature of whenever an action or extreme sport grows is that you're kind of gonna lose that ability to race at the elite level unless, like we previously mentioned, you really want it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's part of the hard part, though, is I feel like we're losing the ability to race at a grassroots level as well.
Yeah.
Like, you can't race local stuff.
Maybe just you three need to hop on the drying rack because you're washed up.
I think so.
Ouch.
No, they're all good guys. They're great guys. They're fast. Way faster than I.
Yeah, no, but it is tough. Like, the grassroots level doesn't exist for downhill racing in Colorado. Like, Winter Park does their series, and I think... I don't know.
It's not downhill racing, even though. You
right.
Know?
It's not like
half the
in our traditional sense.
Yeah. Over half.
Yeah.
For
way
sure.
Over half.
Yeah.
I mean, the Trestle DH race, like, it was better on the downhill bike. We didn't race our enduros.
I mean, we did the one race that didn't require
right,
it. It was preferable to have a downhill bike.
For sure. But then that's it. That's the only, and it is a COVID year, so that's going to throw things off, but.
Yeah, but I mean, years past, it's been the same deal, too.
That's almost the spooky part about the COVID year, is you're talking about a sport that's already on the fringe, and then you throw in a real big wrench with, like, people buying trail bikes at mass amounts,
yeah.
You know?
I think we're going about this in the wrong way, guys. I think we need to talk about why people shouldn't race enduro.
Did you know you climb in enduro?
I can repeat that. You climb.
Sometimes you climb while you're racing.
Actually, more than you'd hoped.
Do you hear what we're saying? This is ludicrous.
Am I the only one seeing this? I agree. I think there needs to be, like, because the Mountain States Cups back in the day, like, back when it was, like the Yeti Pro Team. I don't even remember what they're called, but, like, the sick the Yeti RPM. Team.
The National. Well, yeah. There's the Yeti. World
yeah, they
Cup,
had, like, those
Yeti
tiers and
National,
stuff. Like, Yeti definitely,
regional.
Like,
yeah.
Put a lot of life into local World Cup racing, but.
It did.
I mean, yeah, but then I pulled it.
Yo.
That was why the cop is, folks. No.
Yeti dudes are all very nice. Yeah, like, Yeti put a lot of, like, into the MSC series, which just gave, like, the first step, which is, like, which was, like, our first step into racing. And then from there, you go to, like, the GRTs and, like, then into the World Cups. And, yeah, I think there just needs to be, like, more local racing. The national races need to be restructured to be more accessible to the people in the U.S. because the United States is, like, a big continent and big country. Big country, oh my God. Big country.
Country is big.
Country is big.
He races downhill bikes.
The United States is a big country, but all the European countries are super small, so it's, like, I don't know. It's easier for them to get to races, whereas it's a bigger financial investment for an American racer to get to the whole GRT series, which you need to get enough points to get to the World Cup series. But then, then there's kind of that weird gap between the pro GRTs and the World Cup series where you just kind of, like, have to go get wrecked for a year. So I feel like maybe if there's a, like, feeder series in the World Cups that were, like, more accessible in Europe, because they used to, what are the IXS Cups? I feel like back in the day it just had, like, a good, like, ladder to get to the World Cups, and now there's all these holes that are just, like, you can't overcome.
Well, then didn't British Downhill Series, like the BDS, that's what it was, that died, which is crazy to me, because, like, I've never been there, but in my eyes they have, like, a strong scene.
Yeah, but then it's like, yeah, I feel like it's, like, the actual, like, like, I feel like it's, like, the dudes, like, even just riding in general, like, people don't really ride downhill bikes a lot. Like, I feel like, I don't know, like, dudes like us maybe just need to put more effort into building downhill trails and stuff, and...
Yeah, it would help.
Yeah, because, yeah, there's, like, not, I don't know.
That part's kind of tough, though, because you talk about being a professional downhill racer, and then you have to go out and, like, make your own trails, like, very illegally. I don't know. It's just tough.
I mean, I think the making your own trails part's cool, but it's the very illegally part where you're like, it's questionable ideas.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, just, you know, we talk about how often you need to ride your downhill bike, and if you spend most of your time making trails too, that's not going to... I feel like that's a selfish thing to say, though, because, you know, at the same time, you need to do your part to give back to the community.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean... Yeah, it's tough. I think it's just a sign of the downhill world not being, or the downhill community, or whatever you want to call it, just not being as strong as it maybe used to be, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I feel, sorry to cut you off, but I feel like, from a racing perspective, it's like, I think there just needs to be, like, more of a ladder to get, like, from the bottom to the top.
Yeah.
In terms of series, but from, like, a community perspective, it's like, there's just so many forces in terms of, like, industry and, like, skill levels and, like, in terms of, like, industry and skill levels and, like, all that, that it's just, I don't know. That one's, like, definitely a stumper.
It's a multi-layered thing for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But moral of the story, downhill bikes are cooler than enduro bikes.
Hear me out.
And way more fun.
This is true. But are you saying then that this issue of downhill... kind of depleting is like a is this issue of downhill depleting could be more of like a national thing, like an American thing, like it's something that we need to take upon just on a micro level.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of levels to it, though, because
on one level
a lot
it
of
is
gaps.
That.
Yes. I don't think we can speak to the rest of the world as far as
I agree,
because we've seen the
World Cup problem is a separate problem.
Yeah.
the most communist
happening?
National anthem.
I wasn't expecting the national anthem to be so communist. Because I was ready to go on like a good American rant.
All right, just keep going. Yeah.
So grab your bikes. Hug thy neighbor. And build trails illegally.
You heard it here first.
That's right. That is Case and Shimon endorsing everyone to build illegal trails.
That's a sick ender. You should definitely do that. Use the commie one. Just use it.
Do we call Matt or anyone?
No, Case needs to do his ender.
I'll do my ender.
We're ending?
Are we ending?
I don't know.
Keep vibing. Yeah. We can save the ending for the end. We'll save the ender for the end.
Well, no, we're on the topic.
Well, so
we're on the topic. Yeah, Spomer can edit like Matt in.
We're gonna kill this topic now, I assume.
Yes.
Because I mean, we're just going around.
How does the community like right now? You should call downhill racing.
You should call Matt right now and be like, okay, so clearly there's an issue with American racing.
No, we're going to ask him what
the problem is. There is no issue with American racing.
Kill that. No, do it. All
right, let's get back on track.
Case and Shimon with the solution. Oh, that's too loud. Case and Shimon with the solutions to regrowing downhill in the mountain bike community.
Hit him with it, Case.
Hit him with it. First things first, don't touch your trail bike. Secondly, don't watch enduro racing. You climb in it. What is the point?
Nobody wants that.
What's more American than an ultra specialized bike that only does one thing?
It costs a lot of money.
Cardio? Haven't heard of her.
Heart health? Who cares?
This is the most American thing you can do is own a downhill bike. And in a time where the country is more divided than ever, go out and buy one. Ride those trails that don't have signs. Be the best version of yourself.
God save America.
Their ears are going to explode.
Wait, just and
What else?
I don't know. Give it a God save America. Or what is it? God bless America.
I think he had a good ender. That was...
Yeah, that's...
That works super well
together
with the music.
You can edit it together.
That works super well with the music.
What if we like don't know how to edit this? Or what if Spelmer is just like, I'm not editing this. What is...
Let's continue. Lit hour we made.
Let's continue. We
the timing was really nice on the song.
Yeah. That was really good.
We have more things to discuss.
That was a good speech.
I feel like we're there.
Well, we can move on from racing.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know.
Let's get raced. Let's get lighter. We clearly don't have the answers for the death
that
of downhill.
Was sick. I got goosebumps.
You gave me goosies.
People's speakers blowing out.
Yeah, I kind of got too close to the mic that one.
Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, sorry for all those deaf people. Well, I guess I can't hear now.
But. Hey, just a heads up, enduro racing is fine for some people.
Yeah.
To repeat, you do have to pedal like up hills.
But.
Literally.
All right.
We're not exaggerating here. Ooh,
favorite enduro race you've ever done. Ready, go.
Keystone BME because it was a downhill race.
Wiley?
Trans Sierra Norte, even though I threw a tantrum the whole time and cried.
Ooh, yeah. Tie between the Trans Sierra Norte for me and probably Keystone BME. Or Vail Outlier, because that's a downhill race too.
Oh, no, I only did it the first year when
it got pretty good.
The core people do.
Yeah, the core.
This is for the core.
People know the BME.
We make video series for the core people, and we get like 150 views. Are we acting like it's a secret? Like, you can see the view count?
We don't know how many people are watching.
It could be multiple people watching one screen, so double it, 300.
I mean, our parents definitely, like, tuned in a couple times, so, like...
The core people, I repeat.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
All right.
True fans since day one.
Who's your favorite...
Hit us with a speed round, come on.
All right, favorite World Cup racer all time.
All time,
yeah.
In terms of style or personality, there's
just
a lot
like
of.
If you had to choose
this.
One that like this person,
ooh.
Whatever calls to you most, maybe they inspire you the most, maybe you like their style.
Sam Hill. All
right, that's a good one. Can't Easy. Go wrong. Can't argue it. All right.
I don't ride flat pedals though, so it seems like kind of a poser answer. But
no stees.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
Okay, I'll say. Personality and speed wise, Loic and Omri are sick because they make downhill like funny and fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think style wise, like Fricks and Sam Blankensop is super cool.
Yeah.
And then Dude, I'd say Dakota Norton's my favorite.
I respect that.
Dude.
Way to fanboy.
All right. Whatever, man. Fanboy.
Well, I was thinking you had to pick one.
Let's local call him boy. Right now.
Yeah. I have his number in my phone.
Let's call Dakota Norton call him. Right now.
I know call pros. Him. Actually, dude, Isaac, prove it. Too.
Call him.
Oh, we can call
him. Dude.
Call him.
It's not a big deal, but Rooted has a Snapchat group with a guy who's qualified for a World Cup.
Dude, I'd say Isaac Leveson and Dak Norton in no particular order.
Okay.
Call I like him.
That. Are we calling him?
Call him.
Call him.
Right now?
Why not?
What am I going to say?
Are you going to
be? It's like, know. Hey, we're on a podcast and we just named you as Wiley's favorite.
How do you feel?
World Cupper.
Thoughts?
Biggest accomplishment of your life? Probably.
This has to rank above your World Cup podiums, correct?
What's it feel like to peak?
It's all downhill from here.
But, Karen, do you have one?
To be Sorry. Honest, I haven't followed the sport closely enough to give out my answer, but Greg Minnaar just won again after not winning, or not winning, but just he seems like a really consistent guy, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Greg Minnaar is my favorite, but I don't know. There's lots of favorites. That's the cool thing about downhill, though, is like think of like moto, and every super fan is like, oh, like this rider's cool and the other one's stupid.
Yeah,
and then and in downhill you're like, oh, like Minnaar's in the hot seat, I really want Minnaar to win, but like, oh, if Lloyd comes down and beats him, like that's gonna be sick too.
Dude, there's like seriously like not one not cool person
yeah.
at World Cups. I don't
it's
know
cool.
Do you know what?
Except
it's,
for us
it's so interesting. Yeah,
except for us.
Honestly, we don't race World Cups, but
we try and qualify.
We participate.
What's so interesting from someone who came in like late and like
and from moto?
Yeah, from moto, and like to go from like trying to make it, trying to get like to be popular in moto, and then came over to MTB. Is it's like to be a filmer, or to be like a media guy, and get in touch with the pro guys in moto, like even low level pros. It's way harder than like when I came over to like MTB, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wait. There's no like pit pass at these races, and they're like, no, just fans walk around wherever. Like the accessibility of those like upper echelon riders is very different than like most other sports.
Yeah. Way more welcoming.
Way more, yeah.
And I like, remember
you guys
like,
are friends with World Cuppers. Is no one weirded out by that?
I'm just weirded out that we have friends at all.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, like, who would have thought?
My mom was so thankful.
Not me.
She was all so right. worried. But
next speed question.
All right, favorite U.S. rider. Well, no, this is stupid. You already
Same
told me.
Thing.
All right, but I have to choose.
Oh, dude, I can choose one that's not Dak.
All right,
Wiley Kalpas.
No, I fucking hate myself. Oh.
Can I guess? Dimitri.
Ooh, that's a good one,
dude.
Underground.
Well, Dimitri doesn't race though. That's all the right. thing. Dimitri, well, I'd say Dimitri's a good call.
I
would say
race anymore.
Yeah. Warren Nis is my favorite current racer.
Yeah.
Carson Eiswald,
he's Enduro
also,
though, so.
Also sick. Sean Neer.
Sean Neer is a good one. These are all Enduro guys.
Yeah.
What year did Blair win? Colorado State Champs.
Oh, it was 2016?
Yeah.
Favorite racer, 2016 Colorado State Champs. Favorite racer, 2016 Colorado State Champ, Blair Reed. Favorite American favorite American racer.
Number one in the state, number one in your heart.
All American.
Yeah, baby.
All the time.
Yeah.
He's more American than Star Bangle Banner, to be frank. Especially that communist one I just played.
Man, I feel like there's
so
many.
Too many now
that
I think about it.
So
it's all the homies.
It's like all so sick.
Yeah. Just, I guess I was thinking in the context of like World Cup stuff where like watching Dakota's cool runs and
it's
like screaming at the TV, and then like Charlie Harrison at Snowshoe last year. Was like freaking out watching that because I was like, he's gonna win. This is so sick. And then, I don't know, can't not root for Gwynn, can't not root for Luca. Like, I don't know. I guess I have like, I look up to the US guys a lot, probably because it's just like, I know what they've done to get there. But I don't know. I just think it's really cool. Like, the US has, like, in my opinion, an oddly strong World Cup scene for like, how the national scene, like, let's say, like, 6 years ago was stronger, but there weren't as many guys crushing it at World Cups. And now suddenly we've got, like, a bunch of guys who are, like, super relevant and good and not as strong of a national scene. I think that's sweet.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a bigger gap these days, though, you know?
Yeah.
Also, we're giving shout-outs to U.S. racers. Dimitri Triantlefieu. I definitely fucked up his last name, even though... We're total homies. Check that boy out. He's sick.
All right, call him. Yeah. If you guys are such good friends.
Dude, I can call him right now. All right? I got his phone and my number. Right now. I know pros. Okay?
All right.
I think we call Matt and ask him his...
Okay.
He's got, I want the most...
Questions? Do you want more?
No, here we go. Here we go. Best track of the U.S. right now.
I don't know. I haven't raced any.
Does it have to be... A track we've raced.
Yes.
A track you've raced.
Best track you've raced in the U.S.
Can I say what my favorite track has been to film so far in
Yes.
the U.S.?
Yes.
Probably it's either Wind Rock or Port Angeles for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say Wind Rock and Port Angeles are the best. Port Angeles is super fun, and Sean Leder and Nico Molly sure can build a downhill trail, I'll tell you what.
True.
Oh, does Canadian Open count?
Yeah, that's American.
Stupid. Come on.
I forgot what I said. If it was America or North America.
America.
Well, America is
you
a continent.
You asked the question.
I know. I forgot what I said.
It's the best track on the American continent.
It's pretty close, all right?
Wait, you didn't give yours.
Yeah, Wind Rock.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a controversial answer. World Cup at Angel Fire.
Gross.
Wait, what about, like, Upper Chillin' or whatever to World Cup?
The top is pretty fun, but then it gets flat, and it's hard not to tomahawk through a bunch of sharp rocks.
That's true.
That's downhill, baby. Don't make me get the Star Spangled up.
Austin just likes it because he's good at it. Let the record show.
And because he's dummy thick and carries lots of speed.
He's dummy thick.
Let's not forget Austin's biggest accolade as a downhill racer.
What
like, if anybody knows you from anything, it's the clip of you dying.
Mammoth GRT, baby.
That's not your favorite track?
I think worst...
Getting wasted?
I don't know why you didn't like shattering your collarbone. Seemed really cool.
I don't know. I can't remember it, honestly.
Stormer, play the clip. I don't think that's how a podcast works.
It feels right, though.
So that goes to worst track.
Have you guys seen that video?
I don't know if that's the worst.
Pull that video up.
I can tell you what my worst track was, and I was like, why would anybody even entertain racing this?
Bootleg.
It was bootleg.
Yeah. I mean, it just wasn't, like, there's better tracks. They could have picked a better one for the one you're at.
Like, I was just like, what? Like,
it was weird.
Why is racing not supposed to be fun?
And then that was my first race in, what, like, well over a year, and I was just terrified.
I watched so many people in practice just roll up so unqualified to hit things and then just not think about it near as long as they should have and then just tomahawk, and I was like, oh my god.
Not good.
Alright, next speed round question.
Underrated riders? Let's keep it to the World Cup.
Dimitri Triantafylou.
Alright.
It's true.
What, he does have, like,
god,
what,
I'm gonna
top
fuck
40?
Up his name so hard.
Top
Dimitri Triantafylou. Triantafylou.
He's just making up letters at this point.
Triantafylou.
He did have, like, what, top 40 results?
Dimitri Triantafylou.
There's some accents on those R's too, folks.
I'm so sorry, Dimitri.
Underrated U.S. riders? Aaron Gwynn's pretty underrated. I don't think a lot of people know about that guy, but he's hot. He's a good rider.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in the scene enough to comment on that.
I feel like I can't.
I mean,
come up with a good answer.
Clearly, Matt Walker was. Like,
on the World Cup.
Yeah.
Scene.
Oh, I thought we were talking.
No,
US.
I was saying World Cup.
Oh,
Matt Walker just. I don't know. He came out of nowhere and just won the World Cup overall. In my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think he's underrated anymore.
No, not anymore. But he was.
Nothing like an underrated World Cup champion.
Okay. Favorite Earth movie?
I can't.
I have not seen one of those. So
what? No. As a filmer, you need to, like, catch up on some content.
As a writer, you need to qualify for a World Cup.
Favorite bike movie? How about that instead of Earth?
3 minute gaps.
Yeah.
I've watched that movie like 8 billion times.
Yeah.
And I've like literally talked to Clay Porter and been like, will you sign my copy of 3 minute gaps?
So Wiley has also talked to Clay Porter.
Call him.
I can't.
This is awkward,
dude,
since no one's called anyone yet. So someone step up.
Call him.
All right. I will say,
mine is,
when I asked Clay to sign my copy of 3 minute gaps, he left me on red.
Mine is Disney's Motocrossed.
That's a good movie.
I hope I spelled the name right.
I think you're getting Moto and Downhill confused.
Same thing.
Next speedrun question. Let's go. We're digressing.
Who's the scariest driver?
Wiley.
Wiley Coppas.
What?
Wiley Coppas.
Wiley used to be.
What do you mean, used to be?
Like,
he's just the scariest person in general.
I am not the scariest person.
Who's the scariest person then?
Fat Karen.
Yeah. You trip and fall and the earth would crack in half? All right, let's move on.
Remember when you used to just, like, go 140 when you were, like, 16 and looked 12 on I-70? We'd be going down to Idaho Springs.
We're digressing.
Yeah, we're digressing.
We're digressing. Right. I digress.
What's the thing you're most picky about on your bike?
Indubitably. Nothing. Literally. Is it in one piece? Even that's not that important.
Yeah, I would agree.
Fork setup. Easy, right?
What about it?
Oh, I don't know. It's got to feel soft, but not too soft. You know what I mean?
Wow. Do you test?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Do some R&D for SRAM.
Don't let Devin hear you right now.
Devin, sorry, Devin. I want my fork soft, but not that soft.
No, I don't know. I feel like, you know, it's super important to get a good front end feel because... Hey, why can you stop?
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
What's yours, Austin? You're the most racer boy here.
Yeah. You try hard.
Lately, I figured out my lever position. I've been, like, staring at it real close and then, like, trying to get my wrist at the right angle, and it's been this weird thing I'm picky about lately.
Hmm. Nerd alert.
Doesn't seem to be helping you with the World Cups.
It does not.
Mine from an amateur perspective is I don't like when my bike's creaky.
No.
That's about it. I hate a creaky bike.
I figured out today my Enduro. So you know how my Enduro
has is the best bike you've ever ridden?
Yes, of course.
But excellent.
You know how the head tube had been creaking? I like did some process of elimination and tried a lot of other things, and it was the carbon steer tube spacers.
Yeah.
I threw on some alloy ones, it's quiet as can be now, and I was like, wow, really should have
creaky,
thought of
that. A creaky bike will just drive you nuts.
All right.
None of that lightweight, fancy crap.
Digress.
I digress.
You're what?
Regress.
So no more of that lightweight, fancy crap.
No, especially when you got a dump truck like you.
Just build your bike to last.
That's not affecting it. Right. The aerodynamics of a cow.
I think it's time we wrap this up.
Yeah, let's get another American commie speech in there.
Well, I don't know. Did we?
We already have a good one.
Yeah, should we just add that towards the end?
We're not editing it.
Why not?
We don't know that. All right, well, it was fun. I don't think we
accomplished anything.
I don't know if we accomplished much, especially with the cold calls, but...
I don't know if we'll get an invite back, but... We did our best.
We did our best.
That was a good time.
We had a good time.
We gave our opinions that we have no grounds to give on subjects that aren't really too big.
We have grounds to give some opinion.
Yeah, this is America. This is the land of the free and home of the brave. Austin doesn't like the American
thing. All right. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far,
did even get posted?
Bless your heart.
Probably won't even get posted.
Let's hope.
We can only hope at this point.
That's all we have.
All right.
But all right.
Sorry to everyone's ears.